Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of This Week in History. We are going to do a bit of a fun episode today, and it's not one that I know very much about. I have been requested this, so if you are by a couple of people, so if you're one of the people who have requested this, then this is for you. Honestly, it was that long ago I got a request for this episode. I couldn't honestly tell you who it was. But it's one I didn't really know anything about. I'd never even heard of the name. For the British people, McCoy's is a bag of crisps, or to Americans, that is potato chips. So we didn't really know anything about them, and Hatfield is a place just outside of London. So the Hatfield and McCoy feud is not really something British people know very much about. But what is it? You know, I've had to do a little bit of research into it, and I'm sure many Americans know the story, or at least have heard of the story. But do you know the reasons for it, and what has made it so famous? So the Hatfield-McCoy feud is actually one of the most famous family conflicts in American history. It's a real-life drama of revenge, loyalty, and pride, and it unfolded in the Kentucky-West Virginia border during the late 19th century. Now, the dates for the Hatfield-McCoy feud, they're roughly between 1863 and 1891, and it was on a place called Tug Fork, of the Big Sandy River, and this is the border of Pike County, Kentucky, and Logan, which is now called Mingo County in West Virginia. Now, the Hatfields lived on the West Virginia side of the Tug Fork River, led by William Anderson Hatfield. His nickname was Devil Anse. He was a rugged, shrewd timber merchant and a Confederate veteran. The McCoys lived across the river in Kentucky, led by Randolph or Randall McCoy, a tough but less wealthy farmer. Now, both clans were large, proud, and pretty closely knit, dozens of relatives and allies living nearby, and the Appalachian region was isolated, and it was economically quite a poor area, and governed pretty loosely, which basically meant it was personal justice and family loyalty, which often replaced law enforcement. It was almost like what we would know as the Wild West. There was so much distance between the towns and the people that there was no real way of enforcing the law. We didn't have cars or easy mobility, and the towns were quite small, or people lived remotely and isolated. Now, as I'm sure you can imagine, this is deep-rooted in the Civil War, which was from 1863 to 1865, and the feud seeds were planted during the Civil War. Both families lived in Confederate territories, but allegiances were divided. Devil Anse Hatfield fought for the Confederacy under the famous raider Devil Jim Vance, which was his uncle, and Randall McCoy also sided with the South, but his brother Asa Harmon McCoy enlisted in the Union Army, a decision that branded him a traitor in the eyes of local Confederates. Asa McCoy was murdered in 1865, and this was just after the war ended. He returned home to Kentucky. Within a few weeks, he was shot dead while hiding in a cave near his home. Locals blamed members of the Logan Wildcats, a Confederate guerrilla band that included Jim Vance and possibly Devil Anse Hatfield. Though there was no proof, the McCoys believed the Hatfields were involved, and this sparked a lasting resentment that simmered for quite some years. The next major incident came 13 years later, and incredibly, believe it or not, it was over a pig. Floyd Hatfield, a cousin of Devil Anse, owned a hog that Randall McCoy claimed belonged to him, arguing it had his earmark, a distinctive cut that was used on pigs for identification. The dispute went to court, and a frontier hog trial overseen by Preston Preacher Hatfield, who just happened to be a relative of Devil Ants Hatfield, presided, and the jury included a member from both families, but the foreman, Bill Staten, was married to the Hatfields, or was related to the Hatfields by a marriage. The verdict was the hog belonged to Floyd Hatfield. Now, the McCoys were furious and accused the Hatfields of corruption. Again, tensions rose between the two families. In 1878, later that year, Bill Staten, the Hatfield-connected witness who testified at the trial, was shot and killed by two of Randall McCoy's sons, Sam and Paris McCoy. Both were acquitted on grounds of self-defense. However, this was obviously disputed and didn't really do much to settle the tensions between the two families. Now, this has been going on now for 13, nearly 14 years, and it started over what was essentially a man who decided to fight for the Union Army, came back and was shot dead. The problem is, both the Hatfields and the McCoys would have labelled him a traitor because he went and fought for the Union Army. But it's family. And when family's involved, it doesn't matter what you think. When other people think it and take actions, that's when the feud starts. And, I mean, we're talking here a 13-year gap between the murder and the hog trial. But in reality, it wasn't like those 13 years were peaceful. There was constant fighting and bickering going on between the two families for this whole 13-year period. But it was always what you would, I would put it down to almost like a bar fight. It was, you know, this gang against that gang. It wasn't so much shootings and killings, but it was, if you saw someone from the Hatfields and you were a McCoy, you had a fight. There was a punch up. There was, and the same goes for people who were connected to both families. So friends of the Hatfields who saw friends of the McCoys would, you know, carry on this argument over this 13-year period. And then obviously things escalated. Now, in 1880, the feud actually took on a Romeo and Juliet style relationship. Rosanna McCoy, who was the daughter of Randall McCoy, fell in love with a man named Johns Hatfield, who was the son of Devil Ants. Now, Rosanna met Johns at a local election day gathering, one of the few community events where the two families actually mingled. They quickly fell in love, and Rosanna went to live with the Hatfields in West Virginia, causing a scandal amongst the McCoys. The relationship did fall apart because Johns soon abandoned Rosanna for her cousin, Nancy McCoy, who he then later married. Rosanna gave birth to an illegitimate child who later died of the measles, which was a personal tragedy, which also further poisoned the relationship between the two families. It wasn't just the fact that she'd had a child out of wedlock. She'd gone to the enemy, and then the enemy had discarded her for her cousin, who then went across to the enemy. So it was a kind of big family thing. You know, Rosanna broke that barrier of going to, this could have sorted out the entire feud, because you're talking about the daughter of one of the leaders and the son of the opposite leader. This actually could have been the romance that blossomed and made the two families come together and sort of set aside the history. Obviously, he then discarded her pregnant for her cousin, and yeah, it didn't really go down very well with probably with either side of the family. It wasn't like there was this, you know, one side agreed and one side disagreed. I think both Johns and Rosanna were sort of pushed aside a little bit and certainly looked down upon by their respective families. This didn't get any better. In 1882, the feud turned bloody, and on August the 7th, 1882, during Kentucky's election day in Pike County, a fight broke out between Ellison Hatfield, who was Devil Lance's brother, and three of Randall McCoy's sons, Tolbert, Farmer, and Randall Jr. Ellison was stabbed 26 times and shot once, mortally wounded. The McCoy boys were arrested by local authorities and held at the river for transfer to Pikeville. Devil Lance and his men intercepted the guards, claiming they'd handle justice themselves. Like I said, this was quite common in this era that the families would take on the revenge or the justice rather than leaving it to law enforcement. They took the McCoy brothers hostage, and when Ellison Hatfield died from his wounds on August the 9th, they executed the three McCoy brothers by tying them to pawpaw trees and shooting them. This triple killing horrified both sides and ignited open warfare between the clans. So if you thought it was going to get better, this was the start. Between 1882 and 1888, over this 6 years, both families engaged in raids, arson, and shootings. In 1884 to 1887, skirmishes, ambushes, and assassinations plagued the region. Courts on both sides of the Tug Fork River became involved, issuing indictments and warrants that were often ignored. The Hatfields were wealthier and better armed, and usually had the upper hand. The McCoys were desperate and outnumbered and relied on allies and vigilantes. But it didn't stop the feud. It didn't stop either family from basically trying to get revenge. And you can kind of see why. The McCoys were in this situation where, yes, three of their younger ones had made the decision to kill somebody else from the Hatfield side, and you can understand why there was a revenge killing. However, a revenge killing is normally an eye for an eye. This is sort of the justice of this type of thing. It was an eye for an eye. You kill one of ours, we'll kill one of yours. But that wasn't the case. They attacked one, and in response, they killed three. So both sides were not happy with this situation. Obviously, Devil Lance wasn't happy because his brother was murdered, and the McCoys weren't happy because three of their sons were killed. So it just got worse and worse. The feud's bloodiest episode, however, came on the night of January the 1st, 1888. A group of Hatfield men, led by Jim Vance and Cap Hatfield, which was Devil Lance's son, raided Randall McCoy's home on the Kentucky side. They set fire to the cabin, and they intended to kill the family that were inside. Now, Randall McCoy escaped, but two of his children were killed in the fire, or in the aftermath. Calvin McCoy was actually shot dead, and Alifair McCoy, which was Randall's daughter, was shot dead whilst she was fleeing the house. Sarah McCoy, which was Randall's wife, was beaten and left for dead, and this massacre shocked both states and turned public opinion against the Hatfields. Now, a lot of these things in sort of the rural areas of America in the 1800s, they kind of didn't make national news. The Hatfield-McCoy feud probably wasn't a huge article in the national press. It may have got, you know, a local segment in a I don't know, I can't really think of any newspapers in America other than the New Yorker, which I don't even know is a newspaper. But maybe the New York Times or something like that. They've probably got a little segment or a paragraph here or there. But there wasn't really much information that travelled the country for things like this. This was big. This was national news. You know, people had an opinion from small segments that they'd read of whether they agreed with the Hatfields or whether they agreed with the McCoys, or, you know, kind of like, I can't really think of an example. We don't really have anything like that in this country. I can't imagine another situation in America where this happened, but you have this like rivalry, and people would probably talk in their little coffee shops in New York about, you know, whether they preferred the Hatfields or the McCoys, but it wasn't like a national conversation. It was friends having a little conversation. When this massacre happened, it became national news. It became, everybody had an opinion on it. And majority of people came to the conclusion that actually the McCoys were pretty hard done by. In the first instance, it was the McCoys' brother who was shot dead. And the second instance, it was the McCoys who essentially were at a rigged trial where the pig was taken. It was the McCoys' daughter who was left pregnant and had a baby who died out of wedlock. It was the McCoys who revenge killed somebody but then had three of their own taken as some form of vigilante justice. And now the McCoys' house was burnt down. Wife was beaten to death, or almost beaten to death. She didn't actually die from those wounds, but was beaten and left for dead. And two of the kids, a girl and a boy, were shot dead whilst fleeing a burning building. You can kind of see how public opinion might lean towards the McCoys being slightly hard done by in this. And again, on the basis that the McCoys didn't have as much money, they weren't as prominent, they relied a lot on their allies, they weren't as big of a family, it was quite a big deal. It actually became a thing called the Hatfield Hunt after this. So from 1888 to 1891, and this was in response to the Kentucky governor Simon Buckner, who issued warrants for all of the Hatfields that were involved. West Virginia governor E. Willis Wilson resisted the extradition, but leading to a legal dispute that reached the US Supreme Court. Again, this explains why it got national attention. Meanwhile, a Kentucky posse led by Bad Frank Phillips crossed into West Virginia illegally and captured several Hatfields, killing Jim Vance in a gunfight. In 1889 and 1890, the captured Hatfields were tried in Pikeville, Kentucky. Ellison Mounts, whose nickname was Cotton Top, he was a Hatfield relative, was convicted for his role in the McCoy house burning and hanged publicly on February the 18th, 1890. And this was the last act of blood between the feud that was at least that was reported. I mean, we don't know if there was things that happened later that was never reported or never public knowledge, but by 1891 the violence had actually subsided and both families were exhausted. Legal authorities were finally restored to the area and order was restored back to the Tug Fork Valley. However, there was a lot of things that was going on that, like I said, that wasn't necessarily broadcast to the local papers. It was still a case of, yeah, okay, maybe people weren't being killed. But we went back to that 13-year peace between the brother being killed and the pig trial. That was known as a peace. You know, there was a 13-year period where nobody was killed. but it was pretty bad. You know, like I said, if you were a friend or a relative of one family and not the other, and you saw that family out, there were repercussions, there were fights that went on. So to say that the blood feud had ended kind of means the murders had ended. People weren't being killed for it now, but I'm pretty sure that the actual rivalry was still there. Now, Devil Anse Hatfield actually retired from fighting. He actually became a Baptist minister. He was baptized at the Tug Fork River in 1911, and he died in 1921. So he actually spent the last 10 years of his life preaching the gospel. Randall McCoy lived a quieter life afterwards, but remained bitter. Well, no shit, he remained bitter. He died in 1914, and the family feud became legendary in American folklore, symbolizing rural vendettas, family honor, and the dangers of vengeance. I mean, we used to have laws in this country which were like vengeance laws, where, I mean, you're going back a long time, but we had laws where you were allowed to take the law into your own hands for vengeance, and if you could prove that it was vengeance, it was legal. Obviously, around the 1800s, these laws didn't exist, but in America, I believe, again, the laws didn't exist there, but this was such a rural area, there was no law enforcement, there was no way of enforcing these laws. It was very easy for them to get away with it. Descendants of both families reconciled publicly and included a symbolic truce in 2003, signed by representative of both clans in Pikeville, Kentucky. I mean, the events, we'll just list them now. From 1865... Asahaman McCoy, Union veteran, murdered. 1878, hog trial, Floyd Hatfield and Randolph McCoy, the McCoys lose. 1880, Rosanna McCoy and Johns Hatfield's romance, left with Johns leaving her for her cousin and Rosanna having a baby that died very young. 1882, Election Day fight, Ellison Hatfield killed, and the Hatfields execute three McCoy brothers. 1888, the New Year's Night Massacre, where the Hatfields attack the McCoy cabins. And 1890, the arrests, trials, and executions, and the feud ends. 1921 is when Devil Anse dies, and this is when it becomes a legend in American history. 2003, so this is nearly 140 years later, a formal peace was signed between the two families. 138 years between the original Asa McCoy being murdered to a formal peace treaty being signed was 138 years. And it's crazy to think that we have heard, I've heard of the McCoy-Hatfield thing, you know, is in passing or in maybe a movie that I've watched or some sort of documentary about the Wild West, or I'm sure I've heard the Hatfield and McCoys. But to believe that this family feud went on for essentially, officially, 138 years from the first instance to the signing of a peace treaty between the two families is 138 years, which is crazy. Now, I really, really want to know, because we have quite a few listeners in America. There are a lot of you out there. I really want to know, if this was 2003 that the peace accords were signed, somebody who lives in Kentucky or West Virginia who listens to this show, if you know anybody who is related to one of these two families and knows the history better than I do, please, please give them my details, because I would love to do an interview with somebody from one of those families, or both. You know, if we can do both, we can do both. But if you do know anybody, this would be amazing for this show, because it is something that I don't know a huge amount about. I know the facts, and I know the figures, and I know the dates, but I don't know the ins and outs and all the little nuances that someone in the family would know. Now, I know Kentucky and West Virginia aren't massively populated areas, so if we do have anybody who knows someone, please let me know, because I would absolutely love to have them on. So, yeah, I'll leave that one with you guys. That is the story of the Hatfield-McCoy feud. And let me know what you thought of the episode. Again, we're trying to keep these episodes a little bit shorter, a little bit sweet and snappy, so we can get more episodes in and I can actually focus on getting these podcasts out to you. It's when we're doing the long hour shows, I don't find time to record them. 20 minutes to half an hour, I can find that. So let me know what you think of this slightly different format with the shorter episodes. Like I say, all episodes go onto Patreon first. So if you are listening to this on Patreon, thank you very much. If you're not, get yourselves over there. You can, all the back catalogues on there, plus loads of extra episodes as well. So if you can't do that, get yourself onto Facebook, type in This Week in History, join our podcast page on Facebook. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.